who are students of Buddhism should concentrate and focus our minds. We should have a goal. Our ultimate goal is to become Buddhas. In order to become Buddhas, we must first become good people. We have to lay down a good foundation. And how can we do this? By not contending, not being greedy, not seeking, not being selfish, not wanting personal profit, and not lying. This is the foundation for becoming a person, and it is also the foundation for becoming a Buddha. In order to become Buddhas, we must uphold the precepts. Not contending simply means refraining from killing. As soon as we contend, we are bound to kill. All the various aspects of killing, such as the causes, the conditions, the methods, and the karma of killing, are all due to contention. If you didn't contend, then you wouldn't kill either. That's talking about contention. As for greed, thoughts of greed are equivalent to stealing. Why do you steal? Because you're greedy. You wish to make the wealth and valuables of other people your own. If you cannot steal them, then you rob them by force. And if you cannot rob them, then you start killing. Countries go to war with other countries, all because of fighting and greed. Families feud with other families because of fighting and greed. And people fight with people because of greed. Therefore, fighting and greed are the underground boss which causes us to kill. If you don't wish to kill, you must first fire this boss. That's fighting and greed. What about seeking? You chase after whatever you wish to attain. This is also because of greed. If you cannot obtain what you are greedy for, you try to seize it by force. You think of every possible way to pursue your goal. The most powerful form of seeking is men seeking after women and women seeking after men. It's said that those who are lovesick don't think about tea or food. They don't care about anything, not even eating. They forget about food and everything else in pursuit of their goal. That's seeking. As for not being selfish, it means not lying. If you don't tell lies, then you definitely aren't selfish. If you tell lies, you're simply being selfish. If you weren't selfish, why would you lie? You are lying because you want to benefit yourself. That's selfishness. As for wanting personal profit, of course you want to gain money for your own benefit. But the most important thing is drinking intoxicants. When you drink, you feel giddy and high-spirited, as if you were floating, and it's very pleasant. People who like to drink wine don't go into tea houses. They want to drink wine because they crave that kind of sensation. Otherwise, why would people who are dead drunk still want to drink more? It's because they feel very comfortable. They've forgotten heaven, they've forgotten earth, and they've forgotten people, and everything else. They've forgotten others, and they have no self either. This is because they want to benefit themselves. For extra emphasis, not lying is added as the last one. If you can refrain from lying, then you won't contend as much. Your greed will be decreased, and you won't seek anything, and you'll want less personal profit. By not lying, you can avoid all of these other problems. That is why not lying is added for emphasis. This is the explanation of the 6 guidelines. If we were to explain them in depth, they would include everything that exists. No matter how they are explained, they would make sense. We have to train people to speak the Dharma. Not everyone knows how to speak at the beginning. People have to be trained gradually. We are just like elementary school students, and we get some practice in speaking the Dharma here. Although we only get a little bit of practice, we can expand our understanding. In speaking the Dharma, we should have an opening, a closing, a turning, and a returning. We should open up with the topic at the beginning and then bring it to a close. After closing it, we should turn our speech to another topic, and then bring it back to the original topic. This is known as the opening, closing, turning, and returning. These are an important key to making speeches which we should know. We shouldn't just talk at random, giving a speech which has no main point and no real meaning. Pay attention to this point. No matter how long or how short our speech is, it has to be based on the facts. The Dharma we speak should be down to earth. Can anyone understand what we are saying? If we just talk at random, as if no one were listening, then although some people may understand, many others may not. When I was in China, I listened to the Dharma masters lecture on the sutras, but after hearing their lectures, I still didn't understand what they were saying. I was totally lost. After the lecture was over, people said, "Ah, that Dharma master gave a superb lecture. I didn't understand any of it." So you see, people couldn't understand the lecture, and yet they said it was excellent. This can be compared to inviting guests over for a meal. You have to actually give them some food to eat. What use is it if you merely read the menu to them? That is to say, you have to speak according to people's needs. Bestow the teaching which suits the individual. Prescribe the medicine which is appropriate for curing the sickness. The most important thing is that everyone in the audience can understand what you are saying. The educated people can understand, and uneducated people can also understand. The elderly can understand, grown-ups can understand, and children can also understand. Men can understand, and so can women. Make your speech accessible to ordinary people, to the audience as a whole. Let your words enter your listeners' ears and flow into their hearts. Then they will be able to put them into practice. That's what really counts. When you speak, you should use the techniques of lowering your voice, raising your voice, pausing, and repeating. When you lower your voice, don't speak so softly that people can't hear. Just lower it a little bit so that people can still hear you. When you raise your voice, it's like making a gesture in front of you, causing everyone to look up. When you lower your voice, people tend to lower their eyes. And as for pausing, it doesn't mean that you should reach a crucial part of the speech and then hold back and refuse to go on. It doesn't mean that you pause for 1 or 2 hours. Rather, you just pause for a couple of seconds to make people wonder what principle is going to be talked about. Repeating is the technique which is similar to flattening something and rolling it into a ball. It causes everyone to experience an awakening. You should use these methods of lowering and raising your voice, pausing and repeating, as well as have an opening, closing, turning, and returning to your speech. These are the secrets of public speech making. No matter who you are, if you know these secrets, then you'll be able to draw the attention of the whole audience when you speak the Dharma. And even if you are scolding people, everyone is willing to listen, because it's the right time for you to speak in that way. And if you tell a joke, people won't be annoyed either. Now, we are all beginners who are just practicing, so each person should speak 5 minutes, or no more than 10 minutes. It's fine to speak less than 10 minutes, but if you take more than 10 minutes, then you're using up everyone else's time. Everyone is actually here waiting to listen to me, and they'll be upset and complain, "You're rambling on and on, how annoying." And once you annoy people, you lose whatever merit and virtue you had. That is why everyone is restricted to speaking 5 to 10 minutes, and whatever time is left, I will use. If you're afraid that I'll speak too long, and you're a disciple who wants to make it easier on his teacher, and you know how to speak well, then you can speak an extra 5 minutes. But you can't talk for more than 15 minutes at most. If it's your first time speaking, then you shouldn't take more than 5 minutes. You should just be like a dragonfly touching the water, just touching it and no more. It's only to be feared that you don't know how to speak. If you know how to speak, then you'll have plenty of chances in the future. From now on, the bhikshus should decide in advance who will be speaking among them, and the bhikshunis should also decide upon a speaker among themselves. You can take turns, and you can also ask newcomers to come up and speak. We will usually be taking turns, but if someone has just arrived from the city of 10,000 Buddhas, or another way place, we can ask him or her to speak. He or she can be added to our list of speakers temporarily. The laymen should also be responsible for getting a layman to speak, and the laywomen should arrange for a speaker from among themselves. That way, everything will work out smoothly. It won't be that when the time comes, no speakers show up. You will be looking at me and I'll be looking at you. We'll all just be looking at one another and we'll end up wasting a lot of time. So, again, those who know how to speak can speak for 10 minutes. Those who are beginners can speak for 5 minutes, because you are just practicing. No one knows how to speak when they first start out. Maybe a person is usually very talkative, but when he comes up to the front, he'll be speechless. This happens to many people. This is because they are awed by the solemn presence of the audience. They think to themselves, "Oh, there's so many people here, this is too much for me," and they panic. They forget everything they were going to say. From now on, we should call on people who have been coming here for a while to speak. People who are new here shouldn't be called on to speak. And if the speaker is someone who is well known in society, we can announce his speech a week in advance. If no speaker has been arranged in advance, then we should just choose someone from our own group. Right now, we have established the Wonderful Enlightenment Mountain Research Committee. In the future, we can also form the International Translation Institute Research Committee. Every place can have its own research group, and each group member should be investigated. We should examine what his or her good points and shortcomings are. These people comprise the assembly of the City of 10,000 Buddhas at Wonderful Enlightenment Mountain, and put together, the total number of people can probably add up to 1,250. When we support and protect the way place, we should bring forth a true heart. We should think, "I'm a Buddhist. If Buddhism doesn't flourish, then I haven't fulfilled my responsibility. I've got to do my duty and make a contribution to Buddhism. Since I exhaust my efforts for my family, I should also apply at least 20% of my efforts to Buddhism. Then I'll be satisfied." That's the way you should think. When all of you support the Triple Jewel, don't think, "Oh, I've done so many things for the Triple Jewel, and I haven't received any blessings in return." If you want blessings from the Triple Jewel, in return for the good deeds that you've done, aren't you simply being greedy? Aren't you seeking? When you do good deeds, you should simply do them as your duty, and not seek to get anything out of it. We have to speak the truth. If you don't bring forth a true heart, why would the Buddha protect you? And even if you do bring forth a true heart, the Buddha may not be moved. Why not? If the Buddha were moved, then the Buddha would also be greedy for bribes. Some Dharma masters say, "Oh, when I have problems, I just bow to Waito Bodhisattva, and then everything works out fine." Well, I don't think they're bowing to Waito Bodhisattva. They're actually bowing to the celestial demons and externalists. If Waito Bodhisattva waited until you bowed to him to protect you, what kind of Waito Bodhisattva would he be? If he's supposed to protect you, then he should protect you even if you don't bow to him. And he should also protect you if you do bow to him. The Dharma-protecting spirits of Buddhism aren't greedy for people's red envelopes or offerings. They don't say, "If you give me a red envelope, an offering, then I'll help you out. but if you don't give me an offering, then there's no deal. I have never made clothes for myself, nor have I ever asked anyone else to make clothing for me. This is true for all of my life. And what is the reason? Well, I think if I have clothes, then I'll wear them. But if I don't have clothes, then I simply won't wear anything. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I'm not like all of you who dress up so nicely to impress others because of your great attachment to the ego. I'm not like that. If my mind isn't pure, then no matter what kind of clean, pretty clothes I put on, it wouldn't look good. If my mind is pure and free of defilement, that's what really counts. You say, well, we can't tell if your mind is filthy or not. If you aren't afraid of violating the precept against killing, you can slit me open with a knife and see what's inside. No matter what we do, we just do it honestly, and we don't want to be phony. We don't want to cheat people. The straightforward mind is the way place. In speaking the Dharma, we should speak truthfully. Don't lecture on a sutra in such a rambling, roundabout way that no one can understand. I want to be a clean, pure monk, not a filthy one. You may say, well, I see that your clothes are rather unkempt, not too clean. How can you say you're not dirty? I may be dirty outside, but I'm not dirty inside. That's the important thing. When we take refuge, who do we take refuge in? We take refuge in the Sangha, the pure field of blessings. I am a person who has no money, and I don't do business either. Left-on people who do business are actually usurping the profits of lay people. If they want to do business, they shouldn't have left the home life. There's a verse which describes left-on people. It says, the Shakyan disciples say they are poor. They are indeed poor in body, but not poor in the way. As to poverty, their bodies are ever wrapped in coarse rags. As to the way, a priceless jewel is stored in their hearts. A priceless jewel, its uses inexhaustible. For benefiting living beings, responding to potentials always generously. Three bodies, four wisdoms, are complete in substance. Eight liberations, six spiritual powers, are in the mind ground seal. Superior people realize one thing, and then understand everything. Middling and inferior people learn much, yet doubt much. Simply cast off your own cherished, dirty clothes. Who could go out and boast about his vigor? This passage from the Song of Enlightenment clearly implies that the poorer a cultivator is, the better. Cultivators don't want to give rise to affluence. In mainland China, they yell the slogan, poor people, turn around and rise to affluence. Yet the more they turn, the poorer they become. And the poorer they become, the more they try to turn, until they have nothing left. They can't turn anymore because they don't have the strength to do so.